A lot of people are asking whether what happened at Enron could also happen at other big companies. Recently, the Securities and Exchange Commission said it's investigating Global Crossing, a Bermuda-based fiber optic company that filed for bankruptcy protection last month. As NPR's Jim Zaroli reports, this case is similar to Enron in several ways.
Like Enron, Global Crossing was a high-flying company that Wall Street loved. And like Enron, its luster ultimately proved to be an illusion. Global Crossing built underwater fiber optic lines from the United States to Europe and Asia. And like many telecom companies, it borrowed heavily to pay capital costs. Ellie Noam heads the Columbia Institute for Teleinformation.
Global Crossing was entrepreneurial, and they financed themselves essentially through junk bonds. Which is not surprising considering that Gary Winnick, its CEO and founder, came from Michael Milken's junk bond shop of the 1980s.
But Global Crossing would eventually stumble, a victim of an oversaturated market. Noam says that with the rise of the internet, many companies went into the fiber optic business, expecting it to be highly profitable.
Eventually, however, there was overcapacity. Prices collapsed. People could not make money. They couldn't cover costs, and they couldn't cover the debt.
Because it was financed by junk bonds, Global Crossing had an especially heavy debt burden, and late last month it filed for bankruptcy protection. Normally, the bankruptcy might not have attracted inordinate attention, but a former company executive named Roy Olufsen recently went public with claims that Global Crossing had been manipulating its revenue statements. Olufsen says Global Crossing and the big telecommunications company Qwest entered into a contract in which they agreed to provide each other with access to their fiber optic networks during emergencies. He says Global Crossing booked this contract as revenue. Julia Grant is a professor of accounting at Case Western Reserve University.
Really, they were exchanges in kind. They weren't going to be paid off with cash. They were going to be paid off with other services. It would be as if Ford Motor sold me a car, and in return, I paid for that car by giving them back another car. In the end, they still have a car.
Grant says this kind of transaction was common among dot-coms who sold each other ad space on their websites. And she says it's not clear whether Global Crossing violated generally accepted accounting principles. But it raises questions about whether Global Crossing was trying to mislead the investing public. And the SEC is now investigating the company. It's also issued subpoenas to Qwest for documents related to the deal. On the surface, the case bears some similarities to Enron. As with Enron, the company's implosion has taken a toll on employee pensions. Linda McGrath is head of Local 1170 of the Communications Workers of America. The local's members used to work for Frontier Telephone and had Frontier stock in their 401ks. But McGrath says that when Frontier was bought by Global Crossing a few years ago, the shares were converted to Global Crossing stock. With Global Crossing in bankruptcy, McGrath says, many people have lost a lot of their retirement savings.
They've given their life to this company. And for Global Crossing to come in here and in within 3 years take us right down so that we've lost everything that they've worked 30, 35 years for, they're devastated. I mean, they feel that the company just, you know, let them down completely.
McGrath says some employees were allowed to trade in their company stock, but few did so because they were reassured by analysts and executives that the company's future was bright. That's another way in which Global Crossing resembles Enron. Hardly anyone saw its troubles coming until it was too late to do much about them. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.